Cartoon Connoisseur Theater is proud to present a Toon Review. So, that's what we're going to do. And here is your host, UberNerd527.
Hey everyone, UberNerd527 here, and welcome to a brand new addition to the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater family, and that is Toon Review. We just had fireworks, just in case you didn't know.
We can't afford the sound effects.
We can't afford the
sound effects. We don't have that 52 now money.
No, we don't have that 52 now money. So anyways, we are here to review some of cartoons for you guys. And, go through a little bit, but we'll go through that a little bit later. First, I want to introduce my new co-host from the 52 now, Andrew. Say hello to the people, Andrew.
Hello, people. I'm Andrew.
Walks on the beach?
My other name is Darnell.
Darnell?
Darnell. Darnell. Oh, Darnell is my stalker name.
Oh, okay.
On Craigslist.
Yeah. That's
my Craigslist personal ads name. Well, anytime I want to get like some cheap IKEA furniture,
oh boy,
or a casual encounter. I love that I just said all of that, and it's like, this is a family-focused show.
This is a family-friendly show.
And that was my goal behind it, too, is like, it's going to be family, and I'm talking about casual encounters on Craigslist.
Just skip that first few minutes, folks, we promise. Anyway, so Toon Review is going to be a brand new show that we put out part of Cartoon Connoisseur Theater, and we're basically going to go through a whole library of cartoons, be it cartoon animated movies, be it movies themselves, be it TV series, brand new. It could either be brand new, it could be old, it could be whatever. And
it could be from the future. It doesn't even exist yet.
We could go in a DeLorean and go.
No, but TARDIS, baby.
Well, yeah, the TARDIS would be better. And watch a future cartoon
or tell you all. A time scepter.
Oh,
Turtles in Time. Well, not the video game, the movie Turtles 3.
Turtles in Time is better.
Yes.
Anyway, we're gonna go into it right now, and we decided since today of all days is Batman Day. We decided...
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize it's Batman Day.
Today is Batman Day.
We were going to cover another show.
Right.
And then we ended up watching 4 episodes of Batman the Animated Series.
Exactly.
With Dave at Podcast Pasco. And we just kind of... We were like, well, let's just do this. I didn't even realize... You're right. It's Batman Day.
It's Batman Day. So, because in honor of Batman Day, we decided to watch the first 4 episodes of Batman the Animated Series.
You realize when this posts, like next week, it's not going to be Batman Day anymore.
I know. But still, you know, we have to throw out something. So I'm going
to
throw...
We have to have an excuse for why we're wasting your valuable time.
Anyways, so...
You know, we're bringing over about half of the viewership or listening ship. I don't know how it goes from 52 now.
Yeah, hashtag listening ship.
Yeah, so basically all one of like, my mom, essentially.
And maybe we might even get Dakota. Maybe.
Highly doubtful. Highly doubtful.
So,
perhaps,
if you're listening, Dakota,
don't cry. Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Or Dakota.
Dakota.
Anyways, so let's get into Batman the Animated Series.
It's a good one to start with.
Yeah, I think so.
I think overall, if you're an 80s or 90s kid, Batman the Animated Series was a huge milestone in animation. And just in viewing of kid shows. Like, there's so many great shows out there from the 80s and the 90s. You know, 90s specifically, you had X-Men, Spider-Man, you had all the superhero shows. You had Animaniacs. You had, not an animated show, but you had Power Rangers. You had a whole plethora.
Mm.
And they all mostly were on Fox.
Yes,
generally
on Fox
speaking.
Kids. Because for a long time, Fox Kids was the Saturday morning giant, basically.
Yeah.
You know, everyone else kind of just had a... Yeah, okay. Maybe I'll watch one show in the lineup.
CBS had Ninja Turtles. ABC had Ghostbusters.
Right.
That was about it.
Right.
And then they stopped.
Right. And then they had Where's Waldo on CBS. And, you know, well, that...
Where's Waldo? CBS got weird with their animation lineup. Yeah. They They didn't know what they were doing towards the end. But
Fox Kids was a juggernaut. I mean, I remember back in the day they had a club and you got like a magazine every month. And
you know what club I was part of?
What part?
I'm part of the Power Rangers fan club.
Ah, look at you, Power Rangers fan.
You got this whole kit,
right?
This entire kit,
right?
It's amazing. Uh-huh. This whole big box, and you got the little Klingon sticker things that you put on your mom's car window. She doesn't
Klingon
want
stickers.
Yeah, whatever. She doesn't. Static clean stickers. She doesn't want them up there. Yeah, it's right. It's Klingons. It's Power Rangers. It's cross promotion. And then you had like a VHS tape. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's a thing that it's a big giant thing you put in a machine, and it basically works like a DVD, but you got to rewind it when you're done.
Right. Exactly.
And it was sort of a behind the scenes making of the show, but the actors couldn't break character, so even though they're doing interviews, they're talking to the camera about their secret identities, and I'm kind of like sitting here going, "That doesn't make sense." But okay. I was a little too like, "That's not logical," about Power Rangers. But and then every 3 months after that, for about two times, 3 months after that, we would get a little tiny booklet magazine.
Right.
And that's it. I thought I was going to get more cool.
Right.
Like, I thought it was going to be like what Loot Crate is now.
Right.
And not at all. Like, because Saban is cheap.
Right.
Apparently, Haim Saban don't care. So, and then it stopped. They stopped coming in the mail.
Right.
So, that's the only club thing I got. Anyway.
Now, what four episodes did we watch? We watched
the very first four episodes of Batman the Animated Series.
Which were titled?
Ooh, this is your guy.
On
Leather Wings, Christmas with the Joker.
Right.
I think the third one was just called Scarecrow. No. It was called Nothing to Fear.
Nothing to Fear, yeah.
And then the fourth one was...
Last Laugh.
Was it Last Laugh or was it April Fool's?
It was called The Last Laugh. We watched those four episodes. And I think it was a really kind of interesting go around. I was not able to actually watch Batman the first time around, so the first couple of seasons of Batman were not in my grasp. So I was not allowed to as a kid because my mom
Your mom, one of those people who's like they can't watch Ninja Turtles because Splinter turns into a ghost and talks to them in the spirit realm like it's a cartoon.
Well,
calm down.
I think it's because
Mum-Ra worships Satan because he has a pentagram in the background. Yes, because he's evil.
Calm down, kid. I was very impressionable, and I think the whole romp through Ninja Turtles got my mom to like, okay, that's enough. I don't know. But anyways, I wasn't able to watch the first four episodes, the first three seasons of Batman. I watched the fourth season.
Okay.
Which I really enjoyed. But I went back and watched a few of them eventually, and to see the first four episodes in order was actually kind of interesting.
The animation definitely seemed... Well, no, we'll get into animation later.
Right.
We'll get into animation later. But it is weird going back and watching it and seriously going, wow, this still holds up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, it still very much holds up.
It does. There are a few things that are just kind of, okay, but...
Well, the way the show was built originally... Built like it's a Lego set. The way the show was set up is that it was set in this, like, Gotham was a city of yesterday.
Right.
You know, it was set, like, it felt like one of those old... It felt like a movie like Casablanca or whatever, like the setting up with Art Deco buildings and everything. So it felt timeless, and then at the same time, it felt old.
Right.
Which I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. I loved that. Yeah, I mean, there's certain aspects of it where you're like, huh.
Yeah.
You know, like the Bat Computer.
the first iteration of Siri?
Siri. It's Siri as operated on Windows 95.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a kind of a nostalgic round. I have to say, and you know what? Let's go right into animation style. I think that's...
Let's go into animation.
I think the animation was kind of hit or miss sometimes.
Well, let's first talk about what the design specifics were.
The designs were great. I mean,
I feel like I'm going to sound like a wine connoisseur here, but you see some hints of the Max Fletcher Superman
right.
cartoons,
right.
the old Hanna-Barbera, like Space Ghost cartoons, and mm-hmm. I think Thundar the Barbarian.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the design, I think we were sitting and we were watching it with Dave, and he even said that. He's like, that's a very Hanna-Barbera
yeah.
style shot right there.
Right.
And yeah, so there was a lot of references to. I remember when I first started watching Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Oh, Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
And because I hadn't really seen the original Space Ghost cartoons, and I was like, why does he look like the Bruce Timm style Batman? Mm-hmm. And I realized, oh, it's because the Bruce Timm style Batman is based heavily off of that kind of Hanna-Barbera animation.
Right, and I have the Art of Batman book where it talks about the animation.
I remember that.
And he actually said in the book that he really had a heavy influence on Space Ghost and used that a lot, which was fine. It worked well. I mean, the designs of the characters are really very. I like it. One of the things I like about the Bruce Timm style is it's basic, but at the same time, it's still very dynamic. You know. There's not bulging muscles. It's not
right.
Human,
right. It has.
You know?
It's very angular
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
If you notice, like, there's a lot of, and especially when you get into the fourth season of
right.
Batman Animated Series, which that was when it was on Kids WB,
right.
and the show had been canceled at mm-hmm. the end of season three
right.
on Fox, and then they were, I guess, Bruce Timm and company were commissioned to do a Superman animated series.
Right.
They did that. That did so well that they brought back Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And the style was simpler and more angular and, you know, kind of, I don't know. Angular is the only word I can think of. Boxy, triangular, like the way their faces are set up in the designs. And I kind of, weirdly enough, when I was watching it, I felt that the style was better with the fourth season. I think some people would argue that it's not because there's much more detail in the first three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And there was.
Mm-hmm.
I think stuff got a little bit. They had to do things a little bit more on the cheap.
Right, right.
With Series 4. Because at that point, they were answering to the WB and not
right.
answering to
directly.
Fox. And, directly.
And also because at that time, they started using the computer a little bit more.
Yeah.
And even it wasn't until probably the. After the first season of Batman Beyond, where they went fully computer coloring,
yes.
So,
and then I think in on Justice League, I think it was Justice League. I want to say season two was when they were like, we're just going to go all out with like CG
right.
jets and things like that,
right?
With cell shading, and
right.
it looked good. Mm-hmm. But it's fascinating because you look at the entire history of because all those shows are in the same. Are in continuity within one another.
Right.
And it's interesting to see how the animation style changed from the very beginning to the very end.
Right.
Especially considering the fact that Batman the Animated Series, the first three seasons, were done on, I want to say this right, it wasn't, the animation wasn't drawn on white paper,
mm-hmm.
but on
black
paper.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the blacks are very black, like
right.
Dave was talking about there. Black, all the black colors are very black.
Mm-hmm.
They're not gray looking,
mm-hmm.
Which is what would happen if you did it on white.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch Batman Unlimited, any of the Batman Unlimited, like you can tell that's done on
right.
white paper.
Right, right.
Because
right.
it's like, oh, nothing, there's no black. It's all grays
right.
and blues.
Well,
and
also because, and this is one of the things they covered in the book, was that they try to stay away from black because they feared that because it was a black character during the night, you would hardly see him.
Yeah.
It wasn't until season four, like that's why they even gave him a blue
tint.
Like a blue tint to the cape. But
I hated the blue tint to the cape.
Yeah.
When series four came about and he had more of a gray tint,
yeah.
just black, but he
mm-hmm.
had some gray tint as
right.
well. I liked that.
And then you got Terry's bat suit, which was totally black except for just the red emblem.
But there was also white shading on him.
Right, right.
Which was really neat looking.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the, again, the designs for the series four Batman and all his surrounding characters, all the tweaks and changes happened. I liked a lot of those changes.
Right.
And I think the producers of the show were saying that the reason behind a lot of that was because they wanted to emphasize, because he's surrounded by kids, like you got Nightwing, Batgirl, and Robin. Like it used to be he had one sidekick, now he has
right.
three.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's surrounded by a family of kids. So wouldn't it be great if we made him look darker and edgier, but then here are these characters, like the big bug eyes, and like, hey, you know, like they're kind
of
goofy.
I have to say, though, out of all the characters, I really loved Batgirl's design. Out of all the three sidekicks, I really liked
now,
Batgirl's design.
So on series 4, or
series
did you like...
Four. On series 4.
I feel like her initial costume coloring and design on the original first three seasons, because I don't know when her first episode was,
right,
was okay. But then in series 4, mm-hmm. season 4, when she had the black outfit with the yellow bat, it was just a very
and
simple...
And like the yellow like lining under her cape was actually kind of neat
as
well. And, of course, voiced by Tara Strong.
Yeah. It gave her... How many voice actors... Well, we'll get to voice actors in a minute.
But another thing I really liked about the animation style was it was also filmed like an old-timey, like, 1940s movie in a way, too. Because you could see, like... They did like kind of faces.
There was a lot of matte paintings,
right?
And which you don't
like
see that
focuses
in
focuses and stuff.
Yeah, there was not a lot of matte paintings. Just aren't done in animation. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Too time consuming. A lot of times.
Well, they're too time consuming, but it's so worth it because
right.
the animators.
Right.
The
anim- oh, it is. I
looks,
totally agree.
It looked. The design was so rich.
Right.
And as a kid, it kind of annoyed me because I could tell, like, if something was a matte painting, whether or not that would move or the thing next to it would move.
Right.
Kind of thing. But it's still, like, looking back, it's like, it's so pretty.
If I can throw a quick aside, that's what kind of bugs me about Ultimate Spider-Man and Avengers and stuff, is I think they take, like, real-life drawing, like real pictures of, like, the cities and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then they just make it look like it's been drawn. And it just looks so strange.
I've never paid attention to that. I remember the Fox, the 90s Spider-Man series on Fox, where sometimes the city background was regular animation. And then sometimes it was like really bad CG. But I loved it when it was CG. Yeah. I was like, that's so cool. And now you go back and you watch it, you go, that's terrible. Yeah.
I would prefer the bad CG over what they do now. I
would prefer matte paintings.
Yeah, I would prefer
matte
paintings over
pony
that.
Up the money and do it. Make it happen.
Yeah, there are some really good artists out there. All right, so let's move on to writing. What do you think about these four episodes, writing-wise?
Obviously, it's I don't want to sound mean, but it was clearly a rough start. Like, I think because you have to keep in mind that before the show started... actually, before the 1989 Batman film, as they were producing the film, and this is something that you'll see with animation companies that are trying to do a show along with a movie, is the show, a lot of those episodes were produced before the 89 film came out, I believe.
Yes.
And I could be wrong about that, and I have some friends in the animation industry who work for Warner Bros. Animation, and they'll correct me on this, but I believe... that is if I'm wrong, but I believe they probably were thinking, okay, we got this Batman movie coming out. We want to make – it's going to sell toys, and we want to make this animated series so we can sell toys.
Right.
And so I don't know what the thought process was as far as the design of and the themes of everything, because clearly it's a very – where there are some similarities like the music. Music is very similar. It's Danny Elfman's theme.
Right.
I can't remember the name of the composer for the entire original series. I used to know it. But, you know, they recorded a separate... Every single episode has original music.
Mm-hmm.
It was most animation shows, you don't see that. They had a few
composers. Yeah. Actually, they have a few. Shirley Walker,
that's who it was.
They have a whole list of people, but
Shirley Walker was the one who was really mostly responsible for animated series.
That's something that I really, really enjoy about some of the cartoons from the 90s, is that a lot of the shows, and one of the shows that we're going to be hopefully doing a little bit later on, I'll probably talk about this again, but orchestral music really, really, really brings out the cartoon a little bit more. It sounds more
dynamic.
It sounds more motion picture. It sounds better than just
and it for those kind of scenes where like, oh, it's a tense scene or something like that. It doesn't really work as well when the music is clearly digitally made or,
right.
you know.
Now, there are some exceptions, I do admit.
Sure.
There are some exceptions. However, I really do like going back to these shows, especially, I don't know what it was about the 90s, but some shows, for some reason, would record, like, orchestral music, like a whole bunch of orchestral music,
mm-hmm.
and just use the same themes over and over and over again throughout the episode.
Right.
Throughout the different episodes. DuckTales did that. Batman did that. I don't know if Batman did that.
Batman didn't do that.
They did his originals. But
They did every single episode was original score.
Even that is better than a lot of some of the background music that you get nowadays. You know, Even if I do get the same one over again, I know what it's trying to ramp up. I know what it's trying to
right.
invoke to me.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of a familiar. But
now, what we were saying before about the writing of
right.
the show, what I was getting at initially, mm-hmm. was also that when you're, you know, I think it was a very brave and bold move to let's not do exactly what was done with the movie, you know, what's being done with Tim Burton and company with the film. And Dave and I watched Batman 89 about a week or two ago.
Mm.
And very entertaining movie, great movie, not very Batman, you know? Kind of the most bizarre image of Batman ever in that he's, like, killing people left and right. But it's also very funny. Like, it felt like a comedy most of the time because of Jack Nicholson's performance.
Right.
But the writing on the show, it went its own way.
Right.
And they could have done the Adam West route, making everybody silly and hammy and not really diving deep, but they didn't do that. They went deep into the...
To a degree. Just a little bit. Because it is a kid's show, technically. So to a degree,
well,
they not a lot.
I think originally, though, didn't it air... I remember it airing on Sunday nights on Fox.
I believe it was...
Like, right after In Living Color.
Yeah.
I don't think it was initially going to air on Saturday mornings, right? It was initially on Sunday evenings. It was an adult show.
If any of you cartoon connoisseurs out there want to chime in, feel free to message us at @TalesFTGameGrid.
We should have probably done some research on
that. Yeah, well...
Maybe. Anyway, we changed our minds last minute. We were going to do another show, which we will do.
All right.
But for whatever reason, we were watching Batman, and it just... I don't know. It worked. But yeah, I think the writing, you know, you see the character development with all of the rogues gallery, with all the villains. Like the Two-Face episode. There's a two-part. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's a two-parter. I just realized that. Two-Face had a two-parter episode for his origin story. And it's compelling because before he even becomes Two-Face, you see that he's dealing with a double personality.
Mm-hmm.
And you get into the psychology of that. It's some really deep stuff, especially as... I mean, I was like 9 or 10 when I was watching this, and it affected me. Like, not in a negative way, but it helped me understand to a degree, oh, people have psychological problems. And a lot of these villains were normal people who had a string of bad luck. Gotham is just not a place to live if you're an up-and-comer.
No.
It's not a place to be if you're trying to make something of yourself, because just one false move and you get screwed over by your boss or something like that, and then you decide, I'm just gonna go kill everybody with bunny rabbit stuffed animals, you know, or like you have some weird theme or something like that. But yeah,
I found some information.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yes, you are correct. After it did premiere first on Fox Kids block on
okay.
Saturday morning block first.
Right.
Actually, according to this, and it aired in weekday afternoons on 4:30.
Right.
But in December, just three months afterwards, they did start premiering the episodes on primetime on Sunday evenings as well.
And I don't know if the episodes that they showed on Sunday evenings were like this, but if you notice, there was blood and whatnot in the original animated series, the first handful
right.
of episodes and whatnot. And
I mean, on Leather Wings is...
Oh, there's...
Is really kind of...
He gets scrapped up a
yeah,
bit,
he
Batman does
yeah, he
in
does.
That episode.
But yeah, I think the writing is very tight. Obviously, there are some campy moments, very 66 kind of Batman-ish, but not enough to like drag you out of it or go, oh no.
No, it definitely had its own flair.
Right.
And the writing always paid homage to classic Batman stories.
Right.
Like the Joker Fish episode.
Right.
Paid a lot of homage to that original Joker Fish story, which is one of the greatest Joker stories ever told. And, you know, as far as the writing is concerned, they would always write really amazing characters. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't stop with just the classic characters. They would go with the really obscure villains, and like Maxi Zeus, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I liked the Maxi Zeus episode, even though it was just like, that's it. It's just a one-time thing.
Right, and even like doing original characters like, what's that girl? What's that
Are you
going to
say
name?
Harley Quinn?
No, not Harley Quinn.
Oh, your Dollface.
Dollface.
Yeah.
Yeah, they introduced Harley Quinn and
Lockup. Remember Lockup?
Right, yeah.
Everybody knows who Harley Quinn is, so I'm just going to skip past that.
Yeah,
everyone knows about
Harley Quinn, so I don't want to go into, but I'm saying, like, they did a couple of original ones like Dollface. Which, by the way, I did like that episode in season 4 when she teamed up with Croc.
Killer Croc. Random team up. Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting idea. But anyway, so I think the writing's very, very good. Now, let's move on to another part of my favorite part of cartoons, and that is voice acting.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about voice acting. I liked it. The thing that I think is kind of weird that I hear now in Kevin Conroy's voice for Batman, that I hear now, but he doesn't do it as much now. He put a distinct kind of voice between
for Bruce Wayne and Batman. Yeah, I always noticed that too.
In this version, Bruce was a little bit more lighter. And
hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah,
then,
kind of thing.
Yeah, and then Batman was a little deeper. But sometimes, even Bruce would have that Batman voice, and it's just like, okay.
Oh, I love whatever. some of the moments that trip me up were, I remember there's an episode where he's in the cave.
Right.
He's in the bat suit and everything, and that's his real voice. It's the real gravelly voice. It's his actual voice.
Right.
The Bruce Wayne voice is a fake voice, which I love. Which again, the writing is pretty genius how they went about that, because it's like Bruce Wayne's a facade and Batman's the real person.
Right.
But he's in the cave. Alfred says, oh, you've got a call coming in, sir, from your doctor or whatever. And he presses the button. It's a full Batman gear. And he talks in the fake Bruce Wayne voice.
Right.
And it tripped me up, because I was like, that's just really weird to
really
see.
Weird, yeah.
But
it's such a cool thing, though. And I don't know how much he does it anymore. I think there's still a little bit to that.
Sure.
But, you know, especially when he gets to Old Man Bruce and he's just Batman all the time.
Old Man Bruce don't give a crap about anything. He'll do what he wants.
There is no secret identity with Old Man Bruce. But let's talk about, because Mark Hamill was not the original pick for the Joker.
Mm-mm.
And they had to go redub. The reason why the original pick was?
Tim Curry.
And
the amazing Tim Curry.
Right. And
from,
the reason.
From It, Stephen King's It, which is not a movie. It was a miniseries, I think. Yeah, it was like a TV. It was either a two-part TV movie or a miniseries. I thought it was a movie, too. And then also from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Right.
And so many other
But at
things.
The time, he was doing Hook in Peter... it was Peter Pan and the Pirates, I believe it was called. It was an animated series. Basically, it was a Peter Pan animated series, and he was doing Hook.
That took him far.
And because he was doing Hook...
Just ignore my joke. Yeah, go ahead.
I ignored your joke. I'm sorry. Just because... Boy. Anyways.
I mean, I've never heard of this show.
It's called Peter Pan and the Pirates. I don't remember much of it, to tell you the truth, but I heard it was good. So, anyways.
I guess it was. That lovely review you just gave. Yeah.
Because he was...
Was it as good as Space Cats?
Probably. Space Cats?
Wasn't there a show called Space Cats?
I don't think so.
There was a show called Space Cats. I guarantee you.
There was a show called Eat the Cat.
It was Eat the Cat. There were SWAT Cats.
Yeah, SWAT Cats. Anyways. So he was doing Hook, and because he was doing Hook in there, they thought that kids would get kind of confused. So with the two villains.
Really?
So, yeah, I know. So they decided to go with Mark Hamill, who had already done an episode of...
The Flash. As Trickster.
Dead Flash. And he did an episode of Batman the Animated Series as another character. He did Heart of Ice. He did the bad guy in Heart of Ice. Not Freeze.
Not Freeze, but the guy who screwed Freeze over.
Right. And so what they did was they went back to the episodes that Tim Curry had already recorded, and they re-recorded with Mark Hamill. in the place.
Isn't it? Aren't the Tim Curry recordings available somewhere?
I don't know. Probably on YouTube, more
possibly.
Than likely.
But yeah, I think that was one of the best happy accidents in animation history.
So what do you think? What do you think of his early Joker voice?
His early Joker voice, you could tell he's feeling it out.
Right, right. Oh, yeah.
It's definitely not perfected.
No.
And
no.
Honestly, I would prefer the more seasoned Joker voice he has over the early one. But it was still fun. It was still great. And
he even did voices in that voice, which is really kind of weird to hear Joker do voices.
Joker doing impressions.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. But still, it was really good. What do you think of... what else do you think about voice acting? Do you?
I think it's great, Josh. I think obviously they Andrea Romano, who is the voice director,
she's awesome
for Batman anime series, as well as several other things. I think Avatar: Legend of Korra.
Yes.
I think Ninja Turtles, the more recent Ninja Turtles show. Mm-hmm. But she did all the Warner Bros. Animation stuff for the Bruce Timm centered shows. Mm-hmm. She brought the best out of. Out of all of the voice actors there, they really picked the best of the best.
Mm.
And I mean, you had Ron Perlman as Clayface, and it was perfect.
Yeah.
And I mean, you had, like you said before, Tara Strong as Batgirl, as well as, I think, Harley. Mm. And
well, no, she didn't do Harley until the Arkham games.
Oh, the Arkham games.
Yeah,
who did Harley?
I don't know exactly the voice actress who did it, but she did Harley pretty much through the entire run of Batman.
Animated series, okay.
And she also did the first Arkham game, but then she wasn't available for the other ones. So, but anyways, so let's go on to basically the conclusion. Basically, what we're going to do is we want this to be a little bit for family friendly. We're just going to kind of review it for the family. Now,
yeah. So if you're a parent, if you're like a geek and you're a parent, or you're an uncle or an aunt or you're a big brother or big sister, mm-hmm. whatever the case might be, if you got a small child in your life and you want to have them watch shows, mm-hmm. we want to make sure that we kind of give you an honest critique about, okay, is this age appropriate? Is this, you know, whatever?
Right.
So first and foremost, is this a show that we feel kids can watch?
Kids of a certain age. I think, obviously, preschoolers probably would see this as, like, scary.
I guess. Yeah. Sure. I was terrified of 89 Bat. I was terrified of The Joker by Jack Nicholson.
Right.
I was four.
I think that probably younger kids know. Anyone over the age of probably seven, I would say, is probably okay.
Yeah, I think it's a show that it's great for 8, 9, 10. Like, that's kind of when you get in the double digits there at the beginning. Yeah. That's when it's like, when you're really into the show. Yeah.
It's your awesome.
Yeah.
And also, it's another one of those shows that you as a kid, you see it one way, and then as an adult,
you see it completely different.
Yeah.
And it's something that also, and this is the problem, and we're going to run into this with some of these shows, it's like, can you watch this without gouging your eyes out as you watch with your child? And this is one of those shows that, thank God, you will love it too.
You will love it too.
You will enjoy it too. It is intelligent. Mm-hmm. The writing is great. The animation style is unique and beautiful.
Mm.
Again, we talk about the music. It's original orchestral scores for every single episode.
Right.
It is worth it. It's worth the viewing.
Right.
So I think it's definitely a good show to go with.
Right.
I agree. It has a lot of dark themes.
Right.
Hence why we say nobody under 8, really.
I really think that this is a show you really should sit down and watch with your kids. You know, this is... I remember my dad didn't watch very many shows with cartoons with me. But he did watch Batman. And I remember him watching Legends of the Dark Knight with me. And after the show was over with, we saw the Dark Knight Returns part.
Yeah.
And he actually pulled out the Dark Knight Returns graphic novel that he had. He had the paperback, the two parts of them, and he gave them to me and said, here, you can read these now. This was actually a thing. You know, I think this is something that is tailor-made for people to sit together and watch.
So you watch the entire series with your dad,
mm-hmm.
And then he gave you Dark Knight Returns.
Just that episode. That one episode. He gave me that one just that one Legends of the Dark Knight episode.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yes.
I thought you meant he gave you the comic. I was like, well, that's actually, like, and the animated series is a good primer.
Well, no, he gave me the comic. After we watched that one episode, he gave me the comic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in fact, it was paperback. It was, like, both parts of it.
Well, at that point, you guys had probably, because that was a... That was a season four episode.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, you had already gone through most of everything that the show had to offer.
Right.
So you were thoroughly prepped ready.
Right.
Because Dark Knight Returns is very 80s.
Oh,
it's very,
yes.
very violent.
Oh, yes.
It's definitely not for kids.
Definitely not for kids.
And I remember when I read it, I was, I think, 13 or 14, and I fell in love
with it. Yeah, by the time I watched that episode, I was in high school. So, you know, but...
It's a good age.
Yeah.
That's a perfect age to read that
episode. I really feel that this is a show, at this Superman the Animated Series, and we'll probably get to those a little bit later, but this is a show... You want to sit down with your kids and watch it and enjoy it together. You know, and then when they are scared of different parts or when they're like, what is that? Or what is this? You can sit down and say, well, this is, you know, this is this and this is that and blah, 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 blah. So I think in essence, this is a family get together show.
Yeah.
You know,
I think this is basically, a 90s animation. Which 80s animation was crazy in that, like, let's do a Rambo series, let's do a RoboCop, let's do cartoons based off of franchises that are R-rated.
Right.
Whereas here it was like, we did the 89 Batman films, let's do a show, and the show became its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And 90s animation was known for quality writing and quality storytelling. Your kids aren't going to get dumb from watching
Right. And I would also say that this is a show that, and probably I will get... lots of mad emails. That's even probably more popular than the 89.
Do you get emails?
Will get emails.
Do you get emails
from someone
other than Dakota or your mom or my mom?
But yeah, seriously, I think that this show even became more popular than the 89 movie in essence.
Oh, yeah, I think with fans everywhere, this film stands far and above.
Yeah.
The show stands far and above the original 89 film.
Right. But so I think that's pretty good. What do you think?
I think that kind of covers it.
All right. So thank you very much for joining us for our first Toon review, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Andrew, where can they find you on social media?
On the media of social.
Yes, the social media.
Of socialism.
Uh-huh.
No, not getting political. I don't even know what social... No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
So you can find me on both Twitter and Instagram as @ Good Samaritan 83.
Mm-hmm.
I have exactly 3 followers.
Nice.
I'm kidding. No, I think on Instagram I have... No, on Twitter I have like 400-something followers. And then Instagram I have probably 3. So
awesome.
I don't post much on either I don't post on Instagram unless we're at a con.
Right.
And I started it when at Dragon Con, and I don't post much on Twitter unless it has to do with the show itself. So.
Okay. Now, Frederick will tell you guys where to find me here in just a second, but I do want to go ahead and say...
That guy needs to take a shower, by the way.
I'm sorry.
He needs a shower. And Jesus. Maybe not exactly in that order.
I hope so. Anyways, so we want to hear from you guys, too. So if you have a cartoon or something that you would like us to review, maybe for your family or anything like that, please send us an email.
Please tell us cartoons that we can find.
Right. Please
like
make sure
it's Blu-ray or Netflix.
Right.
Or like, we want to focus on shows that are easily accessible. Yeah.
Easily accessible cartoons.
Don't tell us to review Space Cats because it's just going to be really hard to find.
But we do want to hear from you guys. So please let us know what you think in the comments below or, you know, on Twitter or Instagram. And so from myself, UberNerd527, and of course, Andrew...
Yay, Good Samaritan 83.
We want to thank you so much for joining us for Toon Review, and thank you so much for joining us here, folks. And that was reviewed.
Thank you.
Yes, so thank you, UberNerd527. If you enjoyed this jolly banter and just willy-nilly things that just happened, then please go to iTunes and give us a review. 5 stars or more would be wonderful. Whatever, however you do that, I am sure you can. Anyways, if you like this silliness, then please go to the Arcade Archives website, arcadearchives.wordpress.com, and see all the jolly, wonderful, crazy people that are on there as well. You can also follow us at facebook.com/talesfromthegamegrid, or follow us on Twitter at @talesftgamegrid. Thank you so ever so much for joining us here on the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater podcast. And now I am going to eat a large meal. Good night.
Message from headquarters. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network.
That is all.